morning, Joe.
How are you this morning?
Doing well. A little chilly, but beautiful sunny day.
Can't complain. This time of year could do about anything. So, yeah, we're definitely on borrowed time for sure.
Yeah.
I see some Christmas decorations already going up downtown.
Yeah, all the departments and the outside vendors are working extremely hard. I mean, it's just around the corner now. I remember a woman grabbed one of our people last week saying, "Why are you putting them up so early?" And he informed her that, you know, it takes several weeks before they all get up and you can turn them on. But it's always an exciting time of year for people and families. People love the holiday displays. They really do.
Yeah,
we get a lot of comments on that. I think it brings people to the city. I think it helps feed the restaurants. It's overall obviously a good feeling, but also has some economic value.
Well, I mean, Thanksgiving is just a week from Thursday, and then and the parade after that, so it's not too early. It's on top of us.
Exactly. It is now, for sure.
I understand a Grand Marshal has been selected for the parade this year.
Yes, we thought appropriate to honor Manup Community Health, as well as our Quincy Public Health Department, for the incredible work and leadership they displayed during this whole COVID situation. I know there were a lot of people that worked very hard during this, but there was just a special partnership we formed with Manit and, you know, all the testing and of course, the vaccination shots using the city building. Just a great partnership. It shows people when government does it right, working with outside partners, we get a lot done.
Yep.
So I'm certainly grateful to Manit and certainly the folks at Quincy Health Department.
That's great. That's great. I know that a lot of folks found Manit for the very first time due to this pandemic and will probably stick with them for the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great organization right in our backyard that provides quality health care at a cheaper cost. So
sure.
I certainly appreciate all they do.
Mary, can we talk a little bit about what's happening in the public schools with regards to some of the videos that have generated a lot of emotional response?
Yes, indeed. And first and foremost, I want to say it, and I try to say it every time, the vast majority of our kids do the right thing every day. They go to school, they participate in extracurricular activities, whether it's band, whether it's sports, whether it's a club, and do the right thing. And then there's a handful of kids who are a problem. And I've said it many times in public that these kinds of videos, language, hate speech, whatever the terminology you want to use, is not going to be accepted. It's either somebody that's ignorant, mentally ill, or evil. And I think at that age group, it's probably ignorance. I don't think these kids realize the implication of their actions and for themselves over the long term, never mind the hurt it creates others. So, you know, we're going to continue to stay on top of it. We have an excellent school system, and our leaders are doing a great job. The reality is, though, you know, social media today and the availability of what the cell phone can do today is a major distraction. And I think that's problematic. And I don't know that the schools have to be responsible for every action a kid takes out on. I'm not saying we accept anything they do or say, but, you know, at some point, the family's got to expect some responsibility. I think the schools are being held to a tough standard here where we can't control everything, particularly outside the classroom. Having said that, it's our responsibility to provide a very caring and loving environment that everybody gets treated with respect in school while they're on our watch. Parents entrust them to our care, and I think we need to continue to look at how we can improve that environment. But it's difficult times right now all across the country, and we're not an exception to that, although I do think we're an exception in many, many ways as a community. But we're not certainly not immune from some of these issues. And you know, for example, these kids that made these videos, in some respects, I pity them. I mean, they, you know, long term, when they go and look for a job and somebody pulls up their name and sees some of this stuff going on, they won't have a shot. So I think the young people don't realize when they do these things, you know, what kind of consequences going to be in these types of actions. And first and foremost, it shouldn't happen, and we should not be tolerating any of this type of behavior, speech, whatever the terminology may be. And there's a fine line on the speech stuff. I mean, there's been court cases in school systems where school systems were reversed on some discipline in me because it was a tape made outside of school on their own time. So it gets tricky, but at the end of the day, this is a great community. We have a solid school system, and that most of the kids do the right thing, and we're just going to keep going in that direction.
Do you think the response from the administration has been appropriate?
I think it has. I mean, there are a number of things the system has done since these issues popped, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And, you know, outside agencies were brought in to assist. Roundtables were held. Meetings were held. Forums were held. I think we've been very responsive. There's no cure for ignorance or evil, Joe. I mean, we can do everything we can to minimize it. But human nature is flawed, and stuff's going to happen. And I think we appropriately should react to that and handle the situations. But, you know, when the human nature, we're not perfect, and there's always going to be some of these challenges. And, you know, for some people to blame the school system, it's just absurd. I do think we've been very proactive. You know, when I think about the superintendent and his team since he's taken over, I mean, between COVID and these social justice issues, they've been working 80 hours a week, Joe. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in weekends strategizing how can we make things better, how can we improve. It's constant responding to emails and so forth. So I do think the system is doing everything in its power to minimize the occurrence of these events, and I certainly hope we can eliminate them. And I go back to, you know, I was talking the other day with someone about, even if you don't recognize Christ as a religious figure, he certainly was a historical figure, and he talked about whether it was the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, or whether he just said, you know, the second greatest commandment right next to the first is love one another, the old golden rule, right? And I do think that some of these issues in society as a whole has been an erosion of the faith system. I do, whether you're Muslim, Jew, Catholic, Protestant, the basics of all those religions is such that, you know, it is love one another, love your neighbor, do unto others as you'd like them to yourself. So we're spending billions in society today trying to institute social programs to teach the very basic, simple philosophy of living and loving one another.
Have you had a report yet from the Mayoral Commission on diversity, equity, and inclusion?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I don't, probably time to check in with Councilor Kang to see where they're at. I know they've been meeting regularly, but I haven't received a report yet. No, correct.
Mayor, can we talk a little bit about the $9 billion that's coming to Massachusetts as part of the federal infrastructure bill and how some of that might filter down to Quincy?
Yes, well, we're studying it extremely hard. The bill is, these bills are extremely lengthy, and we are waiting for the guidance and the rules and regs, if you will. For example, I remember last early spring, Senator Warren on a call with all the mayors basically told us, oh, go spend it on anything capital, and then 2 months later the rules come out, and well, that wasn't quite accurate. And then, of course, they change the rules. So then at some point down the road, when you get audited by the federal government, they're going to scream at you that you didn't follow the rules. So we're certainly going to watch and wait for the guidance. But in the meantime, I'm not waiting in preparation and planning. One of the things I think the administration has been very good at, and that is bringing in federal, state dollars, leveraging our capital assets to bring in additional assets. And so I'll be beefing up probably a group of city people, and then out of that, perhaps create a few people full-time just working on this. This could mean tens of millions of dollars to Quincy on our infrastructure challenges. I mean, how it gets baked, we're still not 100% sure whether it's... We know clearly that water and sewer lines are in there, but, you know, our seawalls, our parking garages, clearly roads will be, bridges will be. But, you know, will there be money in there for buildings? Well, you know, there's a lot of categories under the terminology of infrastructure. So we're still trying to determine and waiting a little bit for guidance from the federal government exactly how we can spend it. But we'll be prepared to certainly avail ourselves for every dollar, because as we're reading it, it's not all formula. It's going to be competitive grants in some cases. So we want to make sure we have a seat at the table and having the right, qualified people to be at the table to seeking these funds to help us rebuild our infrastructure. So it's going to be a going to be a process for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, like department heads, things of that nature, to a
special.
Well,
we'll start with department heads for sure, particularly public works, public buildings, and Department of Natural Resources. So that's where the vast majority of any and all infrastructure we deal with as a city is. Mm-hmm. And probably when I say public buildings, that means the libraries and all the other city buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be very aggressive approaching this from every aspect, whether it's seeking the money directly to the federal government in some cases, to the state, and of course, we're in the process through the county.
Yep.
And I think we'll be very successful.
Some of it perhaps for the proposed municipal broadband?
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at every piece of it. That could be one of the categories. I think that's intended for rural areas in our country that have nothing.
Right.
Obviously, with us, it would be to try to create competition because it's just one provider, essentially, in Quincy. So, again, we'll look at the rules and regs on that.
Okay. We're running a little over time, but I don't care because you're more important than what else is going on right now. Curious about your reaction to the Fox Rock Properties change for the downtown developments and how you feel about that.
Well, I'm actually, it's a welcome change
in some ways.
I mean, I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, how many condos and apartments are we going to build?
Mm-hmm.
We said from day one we wanted a mix in the downtown. So to see Fox Rock pivoting now for more commercial, I think is very healthy for the city.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial pays more in taxes. Commercial provides good paying jobs, which helps to fill those apartments and condos, by the way. At the same time, so I'm not troubled by it at all. I think that it's, you know, when you look back and look at the discussions and meetings, we were kind of hoping that whole what we used to call the Ross area, now the General's Bridge area, would be commercial. So when they came in with one commercial, the hotel and residential, that's great economic development, but to have it heavily commercial on that side of the street, I think for the long term economic health of the city is far better.
Okay. Very good. Mayor, always appreciate your time. Good to talk to you.
Well, my pleasure. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. You as well.
All right, Jeff. Take care.
Bye-bye.